read, and you can read the screen.
Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize.
That's why. Look at your neighbor and say, that's why we do it.
That's why we do it.
So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing.
There you go.
I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified.
1 Corinthians 6:12.
You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything.
Good God Almighty. We're going to talk about moderation. Amen. And our subtopic is, can you read? How far is too far? Amen. You may be seated. I've heard Reverend Jones growing up that word moderation a lot in the church. And God has been dealing with me with this subject for about the past month. And so I've been working on it here and there, and this was one of probably the most perplexing sermons that I've been working on. But at the same time, it was one of the most encouraging.
All right, okay.
Because it allowed me to see the depths of who I am, and still know that I belong to God. I need somebody in here to know today that where you are, if it is incongruent with God. In other words, if it lines up with what God says. See, the word congruent means you don't have to be side by side, but you got to be in the same place. Amen. See, too many church folk are trying to be too close. And when God already told us, he told Moses, look, Moses, I'm right here, but you got to turn your head. You got to turn your face. You can't look at me like I am. And so God has designed this thing for us to be congruent with him. In other words, the lines are at the same top of each one, but you don't have to be like this, like the church been teaching this thing. I wish I had help here. But you got to be congruent. You got to be in the same area. You can't go ahead and you show, and it's not good to go behind. Amen. But if you can just tell your neighbor, stay in the area. That's all you got to do. Don't listen at that old church religion that tells you have to be just right with God. Tell your neighbor again, just stay in the area. Thank you, Lord. This kind of teaching and preaching right here, man. That's what's gonna grow the church, because we have to change our philosophy with all of these rules. I wish I had some help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. So he's talking about moderation, and I heard this word, and so moderation means, for those of you who are taking notes, it means to behave in orderly manner. Listen to me, if you will. It does not mean behaving in perfect manner. But it means that no matter what you hung up on, you ought to never get out of order. This preaching here won't work everywhere, but it'll work right here. So it means to be sober. And the word sober means you ought to be able to think. And can I add a word to it? Clearly. So you ought to be able to think sober if you are in moderation. It means to be serious. It means to be sane. Anybody in here now? I know we've graduated, but has anybody in here ever been out of your mind? Don't look around. Just shout yourself. But when moderation is there, you are sane, you are of a sound mind. Now, the word sound means that it is not fractured, it is not splintered, it is not dissipated, but the word sound means it's together even when you ain't together. Tell your neighbor, learn to keep your mind together when you are not. Hallelujah. So it means to have a sound mind. Here, I want you to not miss this one. It means to be discreet. Now, you know, I got to help you right here. If you know you have certain proclivities, or can things you like to do, don't let the whole world know it. If you can exercise moderation, you will be discreet. See, let me help you right there. Sometimes discretion has to rule your life till deliverance comes. So I'm not telling you that you just gotta so much get delivered, but I'm gonna preach you into your deliverance. But I need to tell you right now, you need to be discreet. Yeah. Come on. Now, will this preach anywhere except the union? And so God has put this congregation together today. We got folks missing, but when I was putting this together, God said in this introduction, everybody ain't going to be able to handle this. So I'm going to put those who here who need the introduction. And then when you get to the body, they can ride on because they'll be able to swallow that. And so it means to be discreet. It means to have self-discipline. Now, self-discipline is, I'm not going to tell you it's an easy thing, but it doesn't necessarily take effort, but it takes conscious thinking. To say that I'm going to be self-disciplined. And you can, let me give you a good way to work on your self-discipline. Practice with some folk who get on your nerves. Quit looking across the church, y'all. Quit looking across. But if you want to practice self-discipline, practice on somebody who get on your nerves. And see if you can learn how to constrain yourself. Because here's the thing that God told us to do. He did not tell us that we had to make ourselves righteous. He said, I'll make you righteous, but the discipline part is up to you. And so it's just like people who say, Lord, I need more love. Well, you have to understand, God is not going to open up a window of heaven and pour out some love on you. You know, if you need more love, God's going to put people in your life that hate you. Because that's the only way you're going to get more love is learn how to love the hateful. And so that's how God operates. And so when you know you need to be more disciplined, you have to challenge yourself. And even if you don't pass the first couple of times, it's all right. Just keep challenging yourself. Instead of using every word in the book, may it happen the first time, on the next time, you ought to be down to a few. Amen. And if you keep challenging yourself, you'll wind up saying, God bless you, sister, brother. And see, Cedric, sometimes we do that now, but we do it with sarcasm. I really don't want God to bless you. I'm really telling you to go to hell, but God bless you. I'm just using God to say that to you. Y'all know how you use that sarcasm. You don't really mean God bless you. But if you keep challenging yourself to be disciplined, after a while, it'll come out and you'll mean it. I don't know how far we're going to get today, but It means to be prudent. Yeah. And the word prudent is just a word that means you care about your character. That's what prudence means. It just, you care about yourself. You have some pride about yourself. You don't want to have an image of being a certain way. Huh? So you'll use prudence. For most of us, moderation kind of goes along with toleration. Are y'all here with me? Because the more tolerant you are, the less moderate you will be. In other words, I'm saying it like this: the more you put up with, the more you will drop your guard about righteousness. Are y'all here with me? And I'm tolerant in a lot of things, but I'm not tolerant where I ought to be. You know, we can't hardly tolerate each other till we get out of church. That's why God got the crowd what he wanted here to be today. Listen, I hear the Holy Spirit say, you ain't even got to look around and see who's looking at you. Everybody is here today is for the right reason. Woo! You know how it is when sometimes when God is really moving and he's speaking to you, you got to look around church because there's certain ones that really don't believe that you who you say you are. Come on, y'all can go ahead and say amen. But God set the house. Look at your neighbor and say, God set the house today. So moderation and toleration for most of us go hand in hand. And I'll tell you why I say that, because in the Greek, both words basically mean the same thing. They mean broad-minded and liberal, putting up with what you oppose, and it means to compromise. So when moderation and toleration works together, we become broad-minded and we become liberal. Now listen, in essence, those things are not bad. But when we don't have control over the broad-mindedness and the liberality of our souls and our spirits, that is what gets us in trouble. Jesus was broad-minded. Jesus was tolerant. But it was some things he didn't put up with. So you have to figure out, as Christians, you have to figure out how to be moderate, tolerant, and then intolerant. Because there are some things that we are going to have to avoid. Y'all remember the series, You Ain't As Strong As You Think You Are? How many have had to find that out? So let's work with this moderation and toleration, because they do go hand in hand. And we do put up with things. But has anybody ever heard this saying, do all things in moderation? Well, I've heard it, and I must confess that I thought that was in the Bible. Ain't nobody gonna say they didn't know it with me, huh? Do all things in moderation. The Bible didn't say you couldn't do it. He just said do it in moderation. I will tell you, God is not the one who said that. Let me help you. Let me take you back into some historical figures. There was a man by the name of Aristotle who wrote a saying about moderation. What he was trying to distinguish was he was trying to bridge the gap between people who lived to the extreme and people who were deficient. And so he was using the word do all things in moderation because he was trying to get people to stop being on this end or on this end, but he was trying to be moderate by coming to the middle. Now, listen, coming to the middle is not a bad thing because that's where Christ is. Somebody know the story? He hung between two thieves. Huh? And one of them was moderate because he came to where Christ was. The other one was tolerant and he had nothing to do with it. And so we see here that God is trying to, Aristotle, even a man that never really recognized God, but he understood that society was usually to one extreme or the other. And he came up with this philosophy that you can do it in moderation. You don't have to be way over here, and you don't have to be way over there. But God himself did not. But somehow we believe that we can do anything as long as it's in moderation. Is anybody in here with me? I told you, this is not no condemnation. We're going to shout, boy, we're going to tear this rug, or we're going to replace the carpet. Yeah. So the idea has taken over in the church that you can do anything as long as it's in moderation. I want to just let me ask you a few questions. Can you murder in moderation? Yeah. Now, I already know the answer to this one. We know we lie in moderation. Because I had a reason for telling this lie. I mean, are we really convinced that God does not document that lie because we had a good reason? Oh, Anthony. That's why you lied. Oh, okay. Well, no, I ain't going to count that one. So we believe that moderation. And I just want to give you a few statistical facts here. That, and even over the 4 or 5 years ago that this survey was done, I'm sure these numbers have ultimately increased. But the truth is, it's hard to be moderate and not relax your godly character.
Come on, man.
Yeah. That's the truth. But by the end of this series, we're going to have it. We're going to have the formula. I promise. I got it for you. I promise. That, but here's some things. There are over 10 million alcoholics in the world today. Now, and I'm sure it's many more than that now, but don't you think some of them started out doing it in moderation? Are y'all here with me? Thank you, Lord. Just bear with me, because I'm not anti-drinking. Don't y'all get worried. I'm not anti-alcohol. You need to rub a little bit out on them soul spots sometime. Come on, help me. That alcohol take the soreness out. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so there are over 20 million people in the world who have some type of STD. It didn't start out that way. I'm just going to stick with this one person. Come on. Y'all might as well say amen to me. Because all of us is here by the grace of God. Some of us ain't got nothing now because of, y'all help me. You don't want to say amen. Some of us is clean today by the grace of God. But they didn't start out. They were going to be exclusive, and then they thought they was all of that. Now, oh, this one too, and that one. All right, then. Yeah, I'm Mac Daddy. Come on, help me. Then, when you can't be Mac Daddy no more, you become Sugar Daddy. Yes. Oh, amen. You ain't got to do nothing but pay. Every Friday. Pray for me, y'all. Come on. And so, as we look at these statistics, we know that there are millions and millions who are hooked on some type of illegal drug.
That's right. Come on, man.
We know that there are millions like that. And so, but I just think that it probably started in a moderate way.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Bonnie and Clyde robbed one bank. And it got good to them. Y'all help me here. Yeah. Because they only needed it to pay some bills, but after a while it got good. Help me, Lord. And that's why folk that's in the church that can't handle money don't need to fool with the church's money. Huh? That's the real stuff. You won't find a lot of pastors that will say this, but that's the number one reason why the pastor don't need to be back there in the finances. Because most of them are not like me. They ain't getting paid enough. And so they want to be in the finance room. Because see, if I get in good with Sister Eaton, y'all help me. I can get some strings pulled. See, I'm preaching right now. But see, that it start off with I'm just going to do it one time. And after a while, I'm on the news for embezzlement. You gotta know your strengths and your weaknesses in order to maintain your moderation. You have to know what you're weak against. You can't be moderate in a weakness. Because you're already weak. How in the world are you going to be moderate in a weakness? Men, if you're weak in pornography, you ain't going to look at it one time. You're going to keep on looking at it. Amen. Lights and walk. And so there's no such a thing as being moderate in what you're weak at. So now you have to exercise some self-control. You see, here's the thing with God. God will never make you stop doing anything. He will eventually get you to the place where he know you're going to stop. But he's not going to make you. He'll guide you to the place where you don't want to die. Come on, help me. Has anybody ever been pushed to a place where you know that God wasn't giving you an ultimatum? You knew this was it. Come on. Anybody ever been where you knew this is it and I've got to do something? Thank you, Lord. Moderation and toleration allows these statistics that I just gave you to be so high. All right. And even in the church, as well as in society, there's a false teaching going on. Even about moderation. Because the moderation teaching theory says that fornication, y'all know what fornication is? That is, any sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is fornication. But the teaching says that even fornication isn't wrong if both parties agree. That's what the moderate teaching says. That it's okay for you to have sex with somebody as long as both of you agree to it. Are y'all in here with me? Ain't nobody getting ready. Everybody all right? So, but the moderate teaching, it is flawed in its concept because sex is just like Lay's potato chip. Can't nobody eat just one. See, they know us, and so the marketers have designed things because they know us. You used to have to get the little 25 cents back then. They went to the grab bag. The grab bag had more because, you know, the little 25 cent bag didn't do it no more for you. Then they got so smart they gave you the family size. And so that teaching says that fornication is okay. This same teaching theory also says that adultery is okay. Y'all know what adultery is? Sexual relations between a non-spouse. Amen. Everybody know what that is? Yeah, we know. And also, it is more than just sexual relation between a non-spouse. It's sexual or allegiance to any lover we put before God. And see, you got some folk in the church that think because it ain't a man or a woman, they ain't committing adultery. I told y'all, I drive down the street on the way to church, and I would see people washing their cars on Sunday morning. They're committing adultery because God is in love with them, but they ain't in love with him. How many of us today that if it ain't a man or a woman, we still committing adultery? Because see, moderation allows you to commit adultery with God and you don't feel bad about it. Help me today, Lord. Help me today, God. God understand that that I got to go wash these clothes before I go to work and I ain't got no more work clothes. He understand, even though it's Sunday, that I can go on and wash these clothes today. He understands that I can go to the washateria and to the car wash and the grocery store and all of these things, all of our allegiances that we put before God. And let me help you right here if I can. One of the most dangerous allegiances that we commit adultery with is with our money. Amen. How many of you know all of it belongs to God already? Let me put it to you like this. And I just happen to be looking at David. But if David, if you went on a long job that you were going to be gone for months, and what would it look like if you would be gone for months and you didn't send no money home to pay the bills? Now, y'all know that's how it really go. Now, listen, he have a good reason for being gone, but he don't have a reason for not to pay them bills. Now, let me get my back because this one going out. Y'all know how I'm pointing. This is yard right here. Every time y'all miss church, y'all money miss too. Wow! I can walk the bases on that one. Ain't nobody even going after that ball. But our allegiance is we are committing adultery with God because we say we love him, but we're not taking care of his church. Are y'all here with me? You can talk to that man right there and that woman back there and ask them when we are not here, go back there today and see, don't we have a double tie? Because my allegiance is to God. And I need him to keep blessing me even when I'm not here. Because the principle never changes because of my absenteeism. So I gotta be allegiance to God. I can't let moderation overwhelm and toleration overwhelm me when my duties of God. So I'm going real slow today because I need y'all to get this. So don't every time you hear the word adultery, don't just think about somebody cheating. We cheat God. Come on, y'all. you, Lord. And so even this teaching says that adultery is not wrong as long as between two consenting adults. And this same teaching says that it is okay to lie in adulterous situations because it is best to keep it a secret to keep your marriage together. So it's okay to lie. So not only are you cheating, now you're lying too. And I want you to think how we do that to God also. We come in here. We give him all of our praise. But how do you really feel about him when something else important comes up? Can y'all help me? Because see, this, I'm telling y'all, I done got my revolution, and you're going to get yours here real short in the next week or two. But God is warning us against being so tolerant. Now listen. I'm not talking about being tolerant with each other. I'm talking about you tolerant with yourself.
Yeah.
You can't worry about the other people, but you got to make sure that you yourself don't have too much toleration with the things you like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, and Sister Lane would tell you, I cut a watermelon, eat the whole half one day and the next half the next day.
That's good.
That ain't moderate. Yeah. And then I get in the mirror and look at my stomach and say, what happened? And she don't mind telling me, watermelon.
Yeah.
And I love snacks. Andre don't bring no more Twix and Kit Kats and all that stuff. Yeah. I love snacks. And so I say, "What? Why do we ask what happened when we know doggone well what we did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you asking what happened? You know what you did. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Ooh, something wrong with this scale, is it? You know, y'all know how well. Now, when it's to our advantage, the scale it works perfectly.
Yeah.
But when it's not, what's wrong with this scale? The person standing on it.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me back up off of y'all. I don't want to lose you. Let me back up off. The danger of moderation from a worldly view is that it teaches any sin is legitimate as long as it's done in moderation. That's the danger of this false teaching that's out. We must recognize that how much we tolerate will affect our moderation, leading to soft character. Y'all know what soft character is? That you just go any kind of way. But when your character is solid, you maintain your position.
Yeah.
I don't care if you got to go home and cry. You maintain your position. I don't care if you got to go home and pray, Lord, forgive me. You maintain your position. And you're not going to let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. When you are moderate, you stay there no matter how bad it hurts. Moderation says when everybody else is doing it, I'm going to stay solid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna stay solid. You know, because I don't understand, you know, about this moderation and us not being discreet. Because you got to understand, when you're having a good time, it's all good.
Yeah.
But when that person gets mad at you, they're going to blast you.
That's right.
You will be on Front Street because, see, they don't care. But you the one with the title. You the one leading worship. You the one. Come on. So the person that is upset, they don't care. They don't got no reputation to lose. So you got to maintain your integrity through moderation. You got to recognize that it leads to soft character. It leads to loss of conviction. See, man, look here. I don't ever want to be where I lose my conviction. Listen, I might fail in a lot of things, y'all, but I don't ever want to be where it don't convict me.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me, y'all, if you can. When you mess up, it ought to worry the hell out of you. Talk to me. That's what it needs to do. Because if you can do it and skip around and lollygag and don't care, something wrong. And so I pray, God, that you always convict me. I don't ever want to do something you don't convict me. Always convict me, God. Even if I don't want it, convict me anyhow. High five three people and say, Lord, convict me. Convict me, Lord. Because I understand conviction means that you do love me, not that you don't. So I don't ever want to lose conviction. I don't ever want my faith to fall. That even when I'm not in the place and you're not in the place, I don't ever want to lose faith in what I know to be true. You got to understand that moderation can be beneficial in a Christian's life, but we must have some absolutes. It's okay to live a life of moderation. Listen, I'm not here to rain on your party. I'm not here to rain on your parade. I'm not here to tell you that Brazos Valley needs to be a dry county. I'm not here to tell you none of that thing. But there must be some absolutes. I am here to tell you that you need to be exclusive with your body. There ain't no moderation with that. Help me, y'all. Come on, man. Paul says better to marry than to burn. Yeah. Some folks talking about why they get married so quick. I can tell you, I've been there. They were burning. Yeah. Come on. Child, that's too fast, though. You speak for yourself. Amen. Lights and walls. Yeah, let me let that one go. Put that one in overdrive. We must recognize that how much we tolerate is all in control. And we can have benefits in our life by being moderate with these absolutes. For example, science controls its limits. Did y'all know that? Science is in control of science. How do you know, Pastor Lane? Because water boils at 212 degrees. Not 211, not 210, not 200. Water boils at 212 plus degrees. And so science don't give you no wiggle room.
All right, come on, come on.
Are y'all with me? But we serve a God who will say, okay, now come on, get it together. Yeah. But if reasoning, the thing that God built the universe on, has absolutes, you cannot go below 212 if you want water to boil. Now, it'll get hot, but it won't boil until the temperature reaches 212. This same water freezes at 32 degrees. Huh? It can be cold at 31.
Yeah.
And it'll still freeze because it's below what? 32. But it can be 33 and water will not freeze. Do y'all hear? See, science has absolutes. So you've got to draw some lines in the sand of your life that say, I'm absolutely not going beyond this line. You can still be moderate and not cross the line. Now, why would you go to the bar and drink a six-pack and know you got to drive home? Well, wait a minute. A six-pack and two shots and three chasers. You good? Yeah, I'm good. There ought to be some absolutes. And until you get some absolutes in your life, there will be no self-discipline.
Yeah.
What else happens? Mathematics is in control of its factors. It is not persuaded by some other position. Mathematics says that 2 + 2 = 4. It is never 3.5. It is never 5. Because mathematics draws a line and says, this is it. But the Christians, we want to be moderate with no absolutes. Do you understand? You cannot be moderate or be in moderation without an absolute that says, I absolutely will not go beyond this. And I'm going to stay in control of myself until God fully delivers me. If he don't want me to do this, then take it, God. But right now, this is what I want to do. But I am not going beyond this. You ought to shout right there. You can't take a day where you say, well, today, woo, today is a day where I'm going to let it all go. And see, it's okay to a point, but the danger in that situation is those days will begin to become more frequent. And now you're losing your moderation. You're now losing your self-control. I told you, you won't shout today, but by the end of this series, I told y'all, get ready to call the carpet people or something. A compass points to directions. On a compass, north means north. North doesn't mean south. And south doesn't mean north. Because a compass has an absolute direction of which you are going. So why is it that men have figured out how to put absolutes in science and in math and in geometry, but the church haven't figured out how to put absolutes on their lives? Let me give you my summation of the reason why. Because the church wants to tell you that you're going to go to hell for everything. Amen. And so you put this pressure on people to, I got to live like this. Rather than teaching them, God have already made you righteous. Come on. And teaching them to say every day, I am the righteousness of God by Christ Jesus. Not by my moderation. That's what's happening to the church, because there's so much pressure from the pulpit to the pew. Amen. And that's why the pulpit and the pew is bumping heads, because it's too much pressure. The pulpit trying to tell the pew how to live what they ain't living. Come on, help me if you can in here. But when we teach the thing about grace, the same grace that covers the pew covers the pulpit. And I don't know about y'all, but I can't be a pastor without grace, because I ain't got enough in me to do right all the time. But thank God. Hey, thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Because I understand the same grace that keep me will keep you. Yeah. And if I need it, you ought to need it. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Paul says, we are all running a race, but not all will win. Meaning some will be over-tolerant and become sidetracked in the race. Well, I've come to offer you a solution to that this morning. Just keep running. Because the race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but to the one that will endure to the end. So I came to tell you today that you still get a prize if you finish. Tell your neighbor, you ain't got to be first, but keep on running anyhow. And don't let the moderation of the world sidetrack you. Tell them if you get a little weak along the way, you can lean on me. tell them, hold my hand and run this race. Tell them while I'm on this Christian journey, hold my hand and let me keep on running. Tell them if you get weak along the way, I'll hold you up and we can run this race together. They might smell like alcohol. They might smell like tobacco. They might smell like drugs. But they might smell like all kind of stuff. But let them know, don't give up. Hold on to me, because I've been where you are, and I might wind up back there. But hold on. That's what moderation does. You'll tell somebody, don't give up. The race is not given. One person will win, but everybody's looking at the winner. But you know what I just saw, West Union? We are a relay team. Everybody got to run their leg. Now, when everybody's running their leg, now let's check this out, West Union. Just be on the relay. But the only one that crossed the finish line is the one who ran last. But I got good news for you. They all get a medal. Not just the one that crossed the tape. They all, Cedric get a medal. David get a medal. Deke get a medal. John get a medal. Dean get a medal. Come here, Andre. All of these is going to get a medal. All of them going to get a medal. Y'all face the wall, each one of you. Every one of them going to get a medal. All of them going to get a medal. Cedric running first leg. And when Cedric hand the baton, hand your hand back, David. Cedric hand it to David. David hand it to Charles. Charles hand it to Dean. Dean hand it to Derek. Now, Andre is going to cross the line, but all of them getting the medal. Huh? All of them is getting the medal. So no matter how many of us is in here, just run your leg, and we all gonna get the medal. God bless you today.